Welcome to Richardson's Cove Baptist Church. We're glad to have you. Tune in with us and Dr. David Ayers from our Sunday morning worship service as we study God's Word together.
I'd forgotten that David was going on vacation, and he sprung on me about a week and a half ago. Hey, you can be preaching Sunday morning. I said, oh, well, that's great. I appreciate the notice on that. I like to have a little bit more time to prepare for sermon. I was telling Brother Allen out there, don't worry, it won't keep you very long. I never do. So get you all out here, and you can go on about your Labor Day weekend festivities. But when he told me that, the thought automatically came to me, and I'm going to confess something to you right now. As I got to looking back, and it's been bothering me for the last couple months, basically, I'm a hypocritical Christian when I got to looking at myself and looking at what I had been doing, you know, with all this pandemic and everything that's come on in our lives. When things aren't going our way, we get close to God, don't we? Amen? We like to get in there with Him when we need Him. But when things are not going so bad and things are going good for us, we've got this, don't we? We've got this. I am and that kind of person. So I'm going to confess that to you. And I want us to look at some things today, and I've had this thought, and I thought, well God, what am I going to put in? What scriptures are we going to put with this thought? And there were hundreds of them, so I'm probably going to go in a different direction than what you thought I might go in. But it made me think about, what would I have done in my life different had I really been looking to God for the whole time? I mean, I was reading an article, and it said that there was a group of 90, I think it said it's 95-year-old men and women that they talked about and said, if you could go back and change in your life, what would you change? And the top three answers were, they would reflect more, they would risk more, and they would do more things with their life that outlived them. That they would reflect more, risk more, and do more things that outlived them. So basically, they were going to be more thoughtful, more intentional, and they were going to do things that counted with their life, is what they were saying. And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, well, boy, that'd be something to look at good in your Christian life, wouldn't it? If you looked at it that, what would I do different as a Christian if I could go back and start all over again? And I thought, well, that's some pretty good words of advice there to reflect more and to risk more and to do more. So I decided then that I was going to start with a new plan. And I was going to try to put those things into effect in my life, that I was going to do more that would honor God, that I would be able to, others would see Him in my life, and that when I'm dead and gone, you could look back and not say any of the accomplishments in my life that I've had, but you'd say, well, he loved God. That's where I want to be. That's where I want to be at. And we've all got a response to God. We're all going to have to respond to Him at some point. And I looked at thought about three responses that we can have to God. And everybody has these responses. You're either going to ignore Him, you're going to abhor Him, or you're going to adore Him. Most people, you know, you got those people that you know are there, but you choose to ignore them. That's where a lot of people are. We ignore God. Amen. We ignore Him. We know He's there. He's that safety net that we need to go to. As most Christians, that's where we're at. Or that's where I've been. That's where I've been. I have ignored Him at times in my life. And, well, yeah, you know, He's there. I was saved when I was 15 years old. So I'm going to heaven, and He's over here if I really need Him. Then you got those people who abhor Him, who just hate Him, don't want anything to do with Him. You start talking about God, they get all nervous and want to go away, and they want you to leave them alone. But us as Christians, we like to poke our chest out and say, well, I adore Him. I want to do everything in my power to please Him. But do we really? Or are we not kind of a crossbreed, a combination of ignore and adore? I'm going to ignore him as long as things are going my way, but when things aren't going my way, I'm going to really adore him. I'm going to fall in there, and I'm going to start praising him, and I'm going to start looking to him for the leadership and guidance. As I was thinking about those things, I thought, and this one we'll talk about. I'm going out of the Southern Baptist League here. We're going to talk about four things instead of three. We're going to talk about four different things. But responses to God when we start thinking about where we should be and how we should be doing life and how that we should look to him. And those four responses are going to be worship, serve, love, and thank him. So if you got your Bibles and would like to read with me, stand with me. I'll be turning to the book of Psalms, chapter number 100. Psalms 100. And we've got the words up here on the screen if you want to just look up there. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for this day, and I thank you for the opportunity to stand this morning, God. And as Scotty was talking, Lord, every word that is said is important, God. And Lord, may it bring honor and glory to you. So just move me out of the way, Lord, and use me as your mouthpiece this morning, God. Because without you, God, I can do nothing. And I know that, God. And I just ask that you'll be with this service, be with our pastor and our other members as they're traveling, God. We just ask that you will give them safety and bring them back safe to us. Refresh, Lord. Lord, I thank you for all that you do. And these things I ask in your name and pray. Amen. Now, as I thought about these four things, the first one we want to look at is worship. And Scotty hit on that just a minute ago. And the first verse, Psalms 100, says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Make a joyful noise. Basically, what that says is, make a joyful shout. Amen. What would we do if when we came to church, if when Brother Allen come in this morning, he walks to the door and he says, "Woo! I'm here to serve the Lord today." What would we do? We would be looking like Scotty right now. What in the world has happened to these people that are coming into our church house, into the presence of God? Why are they hollering? But what does he say there? Make a joyful noise. Make a joyful shout. And I got to looking back about the shouting. And we are commanded in God's word, I found 18 times. There may be more than that. But 18 times the scriptures says to shout or make a joyful noise, a shout or a noise to acknowledge the coming in of God's presence. Back in the biblical times, if the people were gathered and the king came in to where they were at, what did they do? They shouted. They shouted because the king was in their presence when they got there. Folks, the king is in our presence. He is always in our presence. They shouted their numbers. In the book of Numbers, you remember the story of Balak and Balaam. Balak had hired Balaam to come in and curse the children of Israel. And he goes out and he comes back. Well, he didn't curse them. And Balak's like, I hired you to curse these people. He said, I can't curse them because the shout of their voice acknowledges that the Lord is in their presence. He said, so if I try to curse them, it's not going to do any good anyway. They were shouting to the Lord. You look at Joshua chapter number 6, the Battle of Jericho. What did he tell them when they marched around? He said to do what? He said to shout, for the Lord has given you the victory. Amen. He told them to shout. There's another time talking about shout that, and these are just a few, and I'm just paraphrasing. But in 1 Samuel, the Israelites were fighting, and everything was going against them. And they called for the Ark of the Covenant to come into the camp. And when the Ark of the Covenant came in, what did the people do? They shouted. Because the Lord had showed up in their presence that day. And it said that shout was so great that what? The earth shook when the Lord showed up. Things are going to happen when we start to worship God the way that He should be worshiped. And when we get into His presence, it says they shouted. You look in 2 Samuel when David brought the Ark of the Covenant back into the temple. What did it say they did? The people shouted. The people came up and they praised and they worshiped God at that time. Well, you know, a lot of times we say, well, like Scotty said, I can't sing. I can't praise. I can't, you know, there's all kinds of excuses that we come to. I remember one time when I was singing with the 416 guys before they got to going off so much, and then the Lord moved me here. And we went to a lot of different places and sang. And we were in one singing one night with some other groups, and we hadn't sang yet. But one of the guys from another group, man, you talk about the Spirit was thick in there. And the people in the church were sitting there like this, arms crossed, long face. And one of the guys, he said, I'm going to tell you what right now, people. If this don't get you to moving a little bit, you're going to be scared to death when you get to heaven, because it's going to be a loud place. You know, when we come into the presence of the King, we're to shout. But we got all those excuses. Well, I can't sing. I can't do this. I can't do that. Well, you know what? God gave you a voice, didn't He? And He intends for us to use it to honor and glorify Him. So if He gave you a voice, give it back to Him. If you say you can't sing when these boys or whoever gets up here to lead singing, if you say you can't sing, well, sing anyway, because maybe your bad singing will make whoever's beside you sing louder to cover you up. Whatever goes on. But we are to be praising God. We are to be worshiping Him with our voices. We're to worship Him joyfully. The second one I said was serve. The first message I ever preached was, are you a fan or are you a follower? God does not want any fans in service for Him. He does not want any of us to be somebody on the sidelines that's just acquainted with what He's doing. He wants us to be in there. He wants us to be in there as followers. And a follower means one that is in service of another, not somebody that's sitting back just watching what's going on. And what did verse 2 say there? It said, serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Serve Him with gladness. We all know those people that are around us that you think, how have they ever been happy a moment in their life? We've seen them, haven't we? Boy, that's a real thrill to be around, isn't it? You know, I'm glad here at this church that when we are serving and everything, it's happy. We're happy to do it. We're happy to be out there. Serve Him with gladness. You think back a couple examples, people that were serving that weren't very happy. You remember Martha and Mary? Martha's all in there. She's grumbling. She's like, oh, I've got to get all this stuff fixed for the Lord. He's here to eat, and I've got dishes piling up. And all this stuff is going on. And look at Mary over there. She's just sitting over there at Jesus' feet, taking in everything He's got to say. What did God tell her? He said, she's chosen the good part. She's chosen that good part. But you got the other one over here that's fussing because they think that they're having to do more work a little bit. Serve Him with gladness. Whatever it is that He's asking you to do, serve Him with gladness. Don't serve Him groaning and moving along. Think about Jonah. Boy, when God came down, He said, go to Nineveh. He jumped right up and said, all right, I'm going to go. I'm ready to get over there. No, that's not what He did He? He didn't run down there and jump on the boat and head straight off to Nineveh. He jumped on the Carnival Cruise Line and went the other way. Amen. Didn't He? He said, no, I'm going to go do this. But did it turn out good for him? No. We got to be serving with gladness. You know, the best advertisement for Christianity is to be happy, to get out there. I heard one guy talking. He said, well, I would have become a preacher, said, but most preachers that I know said, they look more like undertakers, and I just didn't think that would be. You know, we've got that stigma sometimes that we're, you know, we can't have any fun because we've got to serve God. But no, God, the Bible tells us right here to serve Him with gladness and come before His presence with singing. How many sad people you know go around singing? I don't know very many. I've not seen them do that in my life very much. But we gotta worship Him. We've got to serve Him with gladness. And this next one I call love. And you think, well, how in the world are you going to get love out of this? Well, I thought about it for a long, hard time, too, and I didn't get it, but God gave it to me, how to come up with love out of it. Verse number 3 says, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. All right? Scotty said the other day that Miss Melanie loves him, but not every day she's in love with him. Amen. I'm going to say that about my wife, too. She loves me, but she's not in love with me all the time. But how did we get to that point where she loved me? On our first date, did she love me? No. You've got to get to know somebody to love them. Look, know ye. He said to know. That is mean to perceive something with understanding. And how are we ever going to know God unless we seek Him and try to understand Him? And some ways I think that we can seek Him and understand Him and to know Him and to come to love Him. Because did He have to get to know us to love us? Nope. Said He loved us from the day that we were formed. We got to know. I like the first part there. It says, know ye that the Lord, He is God. Let me paraphrase that for you. He's God, you're not. Amen. It's what that says. A lot of times I like to think that I know more than God does, but I don't. He created us. Look on over here. It is He that hath made us. He created us. So that should make us want to love Him, shouldn't it? Because without Him, we wouldn't have even been here. And He didn't, when He created us, He didn't come up with two or three different plans for the first human to. It said He created them from nothing, from the dust that was on the ground. He picked up dirt, made the first man, and He was done with it. He didn't have to go over and change it and make Adam 2.0. He made one, and it was perfect. And we're perfect in His sight. He made us, and we're perfect for Him. Psalms 119:73 says, Thy hands have made me and fashioned me, gave me understanding that I may learn Thy commandments. So He wants us to learn of Him so that we can love Him, so that we can know Him. He made us, and then He owns us. What does it say? We are we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. All right? I don't know if we got anybody in here that's got livestock, but you don't just take your livestock and put them in anybody's field, do you? Because what happens to them if you do that? They become their property, right? Whose pasture does it say that we're in? It said we are in a sheep of His pasture. So He owns us. Not only did He create us, and that proves ownership too, but then He redeemed us. He bought us with His own blood that He shed on Calvary. He bought us. If you're a Christian, He has bought you with His own blood because we were helpless in sin until Christ came. So He has redeemed us. He paid for us. He owns us and He cares for us. Romans chapter 8, verse 38, verse 39, Paul says, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So Paul says he loves us, so we should love him back. And there's no, that pretty much covers everything that could happen to you, wouldn't it? Amen. Said he can't get too far away from you. He said there's no principalities that can separate you, no power that can separate you. So Christ loves us, and he's got us. We are his. I read a Sunday school teacher of children wrote an article, and it was prayers that her students had prayed in Sunday school. And one little boy, that was my favorite prayer. He said one Sunday morning, he said, God, I pray that you will be with Mommy, Daddy, Mamaw, Papaw, Roscoe. I guess that was his dog. I don't know. But it said Roscoe. And said, and God, please take care of yourself, because without you, we're in trouble. Amen. Amen? What about that prayer? He was trusting in God. He said, God, because you've got to take care of yourself, because if we don't have you, we don't have nothing. You know, so we've got to love God. We've got to worship him, we've got to serve him, and we've got to love him. The last thing, verses number 4 and 5. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures for all generations. We've got to thank him continually for everything that he does. And that's where, man, I get in trouble, is thanking him. Here lately, every time I come to him and bend a knee, it's, God, I need you to. God, I need you to do this. I need you to do that. Look at the shape that everything's in. God, I've got a request for him. I forget about that being thankful part to him. You know, and that's easy to do when we step in there. But some reasons that we need to thank him continually. Look, just read the words in that verse. When we come into his presence, it says to come in there with praise. So come in worshiping him already. And be thankful unto him and bless his name. For he is good. God is good to us. His mercy is everlasting. And look at the last part there. It says his truth endures to all generation. So he's good, his mercy is everlasting, and he is honest. Everything that he's ever said has been true, and it's going to be true from now on. So we've got to thank him for that. You know, I was reading the other day, and it's thing. We look at the world right now, and we think times are bad, don't we? We think they're really bad. But history tells us that the worst time in our country's history was during the founding of our country. This blew my mind. Said that during that time period, they were digging 7 times more graves to bury the dead than they were building houses to house the living. That sounds bad to me. And yet our founding fathers created a day, set a day aside. What day do you think it is? Thanksgiving. Said it was enacted by the president and voted unanimously by both the House and the Senate to set aside Thanksgiving. Even in that hard time, our founding fathers were still looking to God and said, hey, times are tough. We're burying seven times more people than we're building houses for. But let's thank God. So in this time that we're in right now, let's stop and let's thank God. Don't be like I was coming in every day. God, I need you to do this. I need you to do that. I need you to do, you know, we got to look at him and we've got to thank him for the things that he's given us in life. If you guys will come on, I'm going to wrap up here in just a second. As I thought about this, the worship and the service and the love and thanksgiving, you know, I thought about, well, everything that I do should be an act of service for God. Whether it's that just raising your hand up and saying, God, I acknowledge you. I love you. I thank you for what you've done for me. You know, it's easy to say thank you. It's easy to say that. But, you know, I think that he wants us to worship him more. He wants us to serve him with gladness. He wants us to love him. And I think basically what he wants out of that is he wants all of us. He don't want just the Sunday morning part of us. He don't want just the Wednesday night part of us. He don't want us coming in here on Sunday morning repenting and apologizing for Saturday night how we live, knowing that Monday we're going to go do the same thing. He don't want that from us. I've been in that situation. And this morning, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get down here, and like I said to start off from when I started this, I want to start now and change the way I have looked at things, the way that I have worshiped God, the way that I have abandoned things that I know I should do. You know, I said we got the people that want to ignore him and the people that want to adore him at the same time. I don't want to be that hybrid person. I want to be the one that is adoring him at all times. Not just there when I need him, but I want him there all the time with him. So stand with us, and if you feel the need to this morning, this altar is open.
Thank you for joining us. Check out rcvc.us for worship times and ministry information. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Psalm 29:11. And from our church family, God bless you.